schedule, ready? Okay, hold a second here. Amen, y'all.
Praise his name.
Okay. I don't know why I typed Genesis early this morning, but I want Exodus. I'm sorry.
Right. Exodus.
All right, y'all with me?
Yes.
Exodus chapter 2. We have Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, same verses, but only if you're in Exodus. When you have it, say amen.
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 Amen. There we go. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, which is mud, and put the child therein. And she laid him in the flags by the river bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit with what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, and he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when, and when he saw that there was no man, he murdered the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, 2 men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? Why are you fighting your brother? And he said, the two men are fighting. One of them said to Moses, and he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. I like to put a tag on this text just for a short while. I survived the river. I survived the river. My brothers and sisters, just think how Moses must have felt. What do you do when you are saved by something under any other circumstances would have taken your life? I pause here parenthetically for those of you who are not yet fully engaged in this message. God will use anything and anybody to save what he has ordained and what he has destined to be.
Yes.
God will use your enemies and make them your friend for a season.
Right.
If it means that their company will get you to the next level.
All right.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
You ought never think you know who your enemies are or your friends are. God will take somebody who cannot stand you and make them push you to the greatest moment you have ever had in your life.
Yes, yes, yes.
God will get you there by any means necessary.
Well,
don't care, no attitude, nobody get. God will get you there by any means necessary.
Yes.
I don't have time to preach that this morning, but I never tell God who to use to bless me.
Yes.
I don't care who God uses. If in 5 years from now, I'm not in the same mess I'm in right now, yes. I don't care who God uses.
Yes.
Then I will take anything God gives me. Moses is a Hebrew and an Egyptian at the same time. New Jerusalem, follow pastor. Let's go deep into this. To be a Hebrew and an Egyptian is just not a cultural situation. Actually, it's a multicultural situation.
All right.
Why, Pastor? Because he was born Hebrew, but raised an Egyptian.
Right, right.
It is a spiritual dilemma. For the principles of Egypt are not the principles of Israel.
Right.
Egypt was a nation, a great empire. It had great cities. It had great industry. The Hebrew nation was not as advanced as the Egyptian nation. In fact, the Hebrew nation had no nation.
Right, right, right.
The word Hebrew comes from the word habaru. And the word habaru means outsider. So the Hebrew is also defined not by a landmass, y'all with me? Mm-hmm. But by the word Hebrew. And the Hebrew people is defined uniquely by their relationship with God.
Yes, yes.
Not a land spot, a location.
That's right, that's right.
To be Hebrew and Egyptian is what we call in philosophy an antinomy. An antinomy is when two ideas will not agree. That's why you can't have truth and falsehood.
Yes, yes.
That is called an antinomy. To be a Hebrew and an Egyptian means you're caught between two worlds.
All right.
That cannot reconcile themselves.
Right.
You still with me?
Yeah.
The principle of Egypt was a nation of cities, a nation of land masses. Cities in the ancient world were supported by farms. To have a city in the ancient world, you have to be able to feed the people in the city.
Right, right.
The principal industry of a city in the ancient world was the farm. This is very important because the way of the farm is very different than the Hebrew way. The Hebrew people were not farmers. When Abraham leaves Ur of the Chaldees, he's leaving a city that he might go to Canaan to be a shepherd. The Hebrew people were not farmers, they were shepherds. As shepherds, they embodied and embraced a different principle of living. May I teach this like God gave it to me? The way of the farm is the way of technology. For the farmer to eat, the farmer must impose his will on the ground. For the farmer to eat, he must beat the ground, subdue the ground, and make the ground give him the harvest that he wants. For the farmer to eat, he must use technology. Y'all with me? The principle of farming is the principle of obstruction. You got to make the ground do what it don't want to do. Give me that. That's the farmer. I want this at this season. I want it to grow at this season. I'm going to use the technology and my equipment to make the ground yield more. I'm going to put insecticide and fertilizer on the ground to give it what it wants.
Yeah.
Make it do what it don't want to do.
Yeah.
Right. My Lord.
Moses is caught between two principles of living. This is just not just a contest between Egypt and Hebrew. This is a contest between the power or relationship.
Yes.
We are caught in the same fight. Somebody in here this morning would rather subdue and manipulate. Because who we think we are, we want to manipulate the situation to do what we want to do.
Amen.
And when it don't go the way we want to do, we got an attitude.
Amen.
They don't care who they hurt. People who want to manipulate and subdue don't care who they hurt.
Amen.
They don't care what hearts they break.
Amen.
You can act how you want. You can have an attitude because you're not happy the way something's going. You don't care who would hurt because you're acting like that. You're just satisfying yourself right now. You're in the flesh.
Amen.
If they get what they want, if you get what you want, when they want it, how they want it. Am I talking to anybody yet? I wrote to tell somebody, you can't subdue and manipulate and expect God to be in your plane.
All right, all right.
The The way of God is not the way of the farmer. Yeah. The way of God is the way of the shepherd. Y'all don't hear me? Let me prove it. Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Amos were shepherds. Uh-huh. All of them lived the way of relationship. Uh-huh. Y'all hear me? If we don't get out of the preoccupation with power and fame and manipulation, we will never enter into what God has for us to do. I'm trying to grow us up, church. It's not about us. It's about God. Yeah. It's about what God wants. We are the chess pieces in God's world.
All right. Come on now.
He moves and uses us as he wants.
Right. Yes.
We need to get satisfied not on the glory of what God has us doing, mm-hmm. but on what God is using us to do at that season.
Amen. Right. Amen. Amen.
This is grown folk stuff here.
That's right.
The principle here is very simple. It's very Christian. There's no success without the manifestation of love.
Yes.
You will not enter into the manifold blessing of God until you have in your possession a deep and abiding commitment to the possibilities of love. The strange transactions of the heart, the deep and honest yearning of a man or woman who has lost themselves in the desperate Dionysian desire for something better. You know it's something better.
Yes.
You know it's got to be better than what you're going through right now.
Yes.
But love got a whole lot to do with it.
Yes.
You found someone and you trying to make them better. Hello. You can't make them better unless you love them first. Only what you love can be saved.
Yeah.
Only what you love can be raised from the dead.
Yes.
Got or want somebody in your life, cussing them out, playing a guilt trip on them, is not going to reach them.
Right.
They don't deserve to be loved. Love them when you could cuss them out.
All right. All right.
Love them when you want to slam a door in their face, Deacon Drake.
Yes.
Love them when you want to kick them to the curb.
Yes.
Love them until they just need to be kicked to the curb. Christian means long suffering, not suffer long.
Yes. Yes.
Y'all got that? Do I need to say it in different ways you understand? Because you're a Christian, don't mean it said you should be long suffering. Don't mean you have to keep suffering long. If I'm talking to you and you ain't getting it, I'm going to pray on you and I'm going to leave you a chance to get it. But guess what? Now you're holding up my press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Guess what? You need to get out of the way. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to move you away. God will move you out of the way. That's how you survive the river. Some of us drowning in the river because we let other people pull us down. The text says he has killed an Egyptian and he is exposed. He can no longer hide who he is, a Hebrew hiding in Pharaoh's house. Now everybody knows the word is on the street now. He was safe and comfortable hiding in Pharaoh's house. He was comfortable and safe in a lie. God exposed him with the twinkling of an eye. I want to thank God, Sister Ophelia,
yes, sir,
for every time he exposed me.
Yes.
Pulled the covers back, made me have to be what I was created to be.
Yes.
He pulled back the covers off my games.
My Lord.
So I couldn't keep running games.
My Lord.
He exposed me. I thank God he exposed me and made me get right.
Thank you, Lord.
And guess what? God, I'm praying that God expose you at all costs to get you right. Because you're never going to be satisfied until you are performing and operating within the purpose that God created you to be.
Yeah.
And if you're drowning in the river, you got to shake some weight off because ain't no swimmer can swim with weights on.
Right.
The Bible says, set aside every weight and sin that should easily beset you.
Right.
Yeah. It's not an unfamiliar scripture. Why are we refusing to do it? Aren't you tired of being sick and tired?
Yes.
I told you to stop with the devil crying, right? The devil got a right to cry. He said, all y'all Christians blaming stuff on him, and he ain't did nothing. The text says Moses is caught between the paradigm of the principle. Will I live the way of the farm and make power and manipulation the way of life? Or will I embrace my Hebrewness?
Well,
the way of the shepherd, the way of relationship, commitment, love, and sacrifice. Yeah. It must have been real hard to give up them milk and honey baths in the palace. He was a Hebrew raised as an Egyptian, but he had a heart for his people.
Yes.
Y'all hearing me?
Yes.
Moses had a heart for his people.
Yes.
He loved his people. He loved the power, how he was being raised, but he had a heart for his people.
Yes.
The text said he spied an Egyptian smiting his people.
Yes, my Lord.
He forgot who he was raised to be.
Yes.
And struck out. It lets me think about how God is.
Yes.
When he sees me down here.
Yes.
Struggling with stuff.
Yes.
He's a merciful and loving God.
Yes.
But he has a heart for me suffering too.
Yes.
And he might love whoever is giving me a hard time.
Yes.
But he did say in his word in the book of Revelation, Sister Brown, that he will wipe my tears away.
Yes.
And if that means moving you away to get my eyes dry, yes. Hey.
Yes.
Bye bye. See you later.
Amen. Praise his name.
I like this Moses, the way he's feeling. He's caught between two questions. Notice this, y'all. God answered the question for him. Sometimes when you have sense enough to answer for yourself, God will step in. When you don't have sense to answer for yourself, God will step in and answer for you.
Yes, he will.
Have you ever been caught between two opinions and God closed the door and you only had one choice left?
Yes. Yes.
Moses has to decide now, who will I be? Moses vacillates for a moment between two principles, the palace or the backside of the mountain.
Yes.
Help me, somebody.
Yes.
Because he really doesn't know who he is. Let me say this to you. When you don't know who you are, you're not fooling nobody with your hairdo.
Come on now.
I don't care how many degrees you have, what kind of car you drive. I don't care how you act in church. You may be able to tie, you might not be able, you may be able to tie a bow tie prettier than me. Speak in tongues, roll on the floor, come to church every day. When you don't know who you are, you're not fooling nobody.
That's right.
I can tell you who you are by the way you hold your talk, the way you walk, how you act in any circumstance and situation.
Yes.
When you get uncomfortable in a situation in your pew that you don't like, you don't even act the way you are, because guess what? You're going to need faith to move so long.
Yes.
I'm trying to keep it real with y'all here, because I'm telling y'all what God know already.
Yeah.
But what God does, he don't let you keep your stuff in quiet, because he wants to expose you.
Yes.
The only way for him to get you right is to expose you.
Yes.
Y'all know what happened. I don't want to compare us to roaches. I don't want to do that. Let's just talk about the devil. The devil likes to do stuff in the dark.
Yes.
He likes to conceal it. You saw this responsive reading today? We have this ministry. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. What Paul is telling the church is that we're going to keep everything above the table.
Yes.
We ain't going to keep nothing. You run in your mouth about something, you said to somebody, somebody bring it open, guess what? If pastor in charge, pastor won't say, both of y'all come here.
Amen.
Let's get it in the open. I'll put it in front of the whole church. We're going to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Because
right.
The devil can't operate when you have anything in the light.
That's right. That's
he can't right. operate. He can operate when you let stuff simmer.
Yes.
Because you immature and you saying stuff that you shouldn't say. Guess what? Paul said no. You rebuke that, Paul said. Paul said, we renounce those things and we put everything on top of the table.
Yes.
How can we help you unless we expose it?
Yes.
Because we don't want nobody else becoming a casualty of your collateral damage.
Right.
Yeah. This is how you survive the river.
Yes.
Lord, help me.
Help
it's tight, but it's right.
It's all right.
The reason I'm aware that you don't know who you are is the way you hold your head. I tell you that. I know who I am. I know who I'm called to be.
Yes.
I'm a child of the King.
Yes. Amen.
Praise you don't have to like it or like me. You don't have to co-sign it or applaud it.
All right.
I am what I am by the grace of God.
Yes.
In this country, we have taught you how to master everybody else and not how to master yourself.
Yes.
I can care less that you know everything about the housewives of Atlanta. Dr. Phil and Oprah. I can kill that, but that will not help your life one single bit.
Yes.
Today we mourn for people who live between the claps of other people.
Yes.
Needing approval.
Yes.
Until they are lost in the noise of other people's applause.
Yes.
And adulation. Not finding, ever finding themselves.
Yes.
You need the approval of everyone else. You need your position. And if you ain't there, you end up going and saying something, you just like it because you're there. That makes yourself feel good. But you're supposed to be serving God.
Yes.
When the rubber meets the road, you will serve God in spite of.
That's right. That's right.
In spite of no one ever calling your name.
All right. That's it.
Or saying anything. You will work behind the scenes.
Yes.
And that's what God wants.
Yes.
Because as soon as God, you can't trace God, you're going to throw down the towel and give up on God because you think he's not going to do what he asked you to do.
Yes.
If you're not careful, you're going to die between someone's clap.
Jesus.
It's time to free ourselves from the opinions of other people.
Yes.
And tell them I'm a child of the living God.
Yes.
You should be thanking God and praise him until you stir up the gift on the inside of you.
Jesus.
You ought to clap for yourself. Learn how to clap for yourself.
Thank you, Lord. Celebrate yourself.
Sister Brown, learn how to clap, preach to yourself.
Amen.
Clap every night you have to cry by yourself.
Yes.
Clap every time they slam the door
in
your
Come
face.
On now. Yes.
Clap and tell the devil, I'm clapping for myself.
Yes.
God chooses for him and puts him in a strange situation. Talk about Moses. Where he was to reveal himself.
Yes.
The two men in the second chapter and the 11th verse come to Moses. This is what they said to him. Moses sees them in a conflict and gets in the middle. They said to him, who do you think you are?
Yes.
Moses is doing what he was just born to do.
Yes.
He was a mediator. He was the emancipator of Israel.
Yes.
He was their leader. He just was reacting out of pure spiritual instinct. He wasn't trying to lord himself over them, which he could have because he was the prince of Egypt.
Yes.
It's amazing how people show up in your life, though. They've been there 6 weeks, and they think they have you all figured out.
Right.
It's so amazing how people can show up in the third chapter of your life and don't realize you have whole other chapter 4 where their name does not even appear in the chapters. They're in chapter 3. They forgot about chapter 1 and chapter 2.
Yes.
They don't know what happened to you in chapter 1 and chapter 2. They show up in chapter 3 and they think they're all of that in the bag of sticks.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why you can't judge nobody. You don't know what nobody else went through your own. You don't even know what nobody else went through to get here today. Because people are looking good right now. You don't know what the hell they went through before they got here. And don't look at them funny because they didn't come to church last Sunday. And you showed up.
Wow.
It's amazing how we judge everyone on all kind of stuff that God never forgave us for.
That's right.
Amen. 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 Amen.
did. And she got to down to act like she's so holy.
Okay.
And she, you know, she did. You know, she was with him last night.
Well,
my
Lord.
Look at tight, baby. Look at tight. Look at her pants hanging down. Look how tight her dress is.
Well,
she ain't got no shame coming up in this church like that. It's the Lord's house, though.
Yes, right.
How you gonna survive the river? You got all kind of stuff pulling you down.
Yes.
Church, make up your mind to change your mind.
Amen.
You can't. This ain't no new principles and no new sermon. This is a sermon preached a different way with the same principles. Yes, pastor, some don't, pastors don't like to preach it because you ain't going to holler as much. I don't care. I don't need nobody to holler. I'm going to preach.
Yes.
You ought to just go back and read the pages in somebody's book.
Yeah.
And you'll see why they act the way they act.
Yes.
Why they do what they do.
Right.
There's a reason behind every reason. There's a reason.
Yes.
The point is, people think they know you. Here we go. They saw Moses. Let me tell you why they stepped to Moses like this. He was born to lead Israel out of Egypt. I'm going to hang out here with Moses for the next couple Sundays. I'm going to tell y'all. Because God feed me through this book. This Moses, man, is something else.
My Lord.
Here they go. They saw him at Pharaoh's pool. Eat at Pharaoh's table. But they didn't know him as a man that did not start his life in Pharaoh's house.
All right.
He started in the basket where his mama put him in the water because we got some demonic new Pharaoh who's afraid of the slaves, decided he's going to kill a whole bunch of people. We're going to talk about that next week. He's going to kill a whole bunch of people by genocide, by infanticide. Infanticide is a person that doesn't abort babies, but they allow the child to be born and kill the infant after it's born.
Yes.
I'm gonna mess with number 45 next week.
All right, Jesus.
Amen.
Cause he ain't nothing from the pits of hell.
Amen.
He just don't know he on a spiritual mandate from the devil.
Yes, Lord.
The Bible says he started his life down in the Nile River. They did not know before he had gotten to Pharaoh's house, he had already survived the river.
Yes.
I can't even tell somebody they can laugh at you all they want. If they knew what you have come through to get here.
Yes.
Someone said, I was raped and molested, misused and abused, but I survived the river.
Yes.
I came out of the smoke and the fire with my clothes smelling like smoke, but I made it out and God kept me in the fire.
Yes.
This man's life did not start in the padded walls of Pharaoh's palace. He did not begin his life like that. He began his life in the river. Listen to this. Do you know there are 15 species? What kind of 15 species of venomous snake in the Nile River? The largest crocodiles in the world are living in the Nile River. There are 4 species of lizards in the Nile River. 9 species of frogs in the Nile River. They got flies, mosquitoes. Do I need to repeat myself? Somehow, someway, Moses had what it took to make it through the river.
All right.
I know. I made it by the skin of my chinny chin chin. But I made it anyhow.
Yes.
I made broke and disgusted, maybe broke, busted and disgusted. But I made it anyhow.
Yes.
I dare any devil to try and shut me down or make me shut my mouth. I feel like preaching. Look at your neighbor and say, I know you are who you are.
I know you are who you are.
Because you were raised from the river. You're abused in the river. You almost died in the river, almost lost your life in the middle of the river. I thank God this morning, church, that God kept us through the river. He's the God of the river.
Thank you, Lord.
Sister Didi, he puts only who he wants in the river.
My Lord.
Because I understand, I said to myself, Moses as a baby must know God had a mandate for his life, Deacon Dre. Can I preach it like God gave it to me? Because while he laid in that basket, in that mud stuck together basket, he could have cried out at the wrong time.
Yes, right.
Y'all ain't hearing me.
Yes.
And a crocodile could have heard him.
Yes.
Y'all ain't hearing me?
Yes.
And swallowed him and he would have been gone.
Yes.
But he knew how to keep quiet.
Yes.
While he was in the river.
Yes.
Can I get it when it's here?
Yes.
Why? Because he knew somehow, some way, that God would have went down to the river and draw him out. Because when God got destiny on your life, no river or no circumstance or situation can take you out. I know y'all think that Pharaoh's daughter pulled him from the river. No, she didn't. God pulled Moses from the river. Because the text tells me that his mother hid him till he can no longer be hid. Sister Brown, when you got destiny on your life, you can be in the backside of the mountain only for so long. And after a while, you got to come out. Can I get a witness in here? Your circumstance and your situation only can hide you for a certain long amount of time.
That's right.
And then you got to come out.
Amen.
But how scared are you, Deacon Dre?
All right.
Are you scared to face the obstacles that will be in your way?
Amen.
Once you know God got destiny on your life, are you concerned about what your friends might say? What church folk might say?
Yes.
What your boss might say?
Yes.
But are you destined? Are you destined or bound for the promised land?
Yes.
Reminds me of my Bible of the woman that had an issue of blood.
Yes.
For 18 long years.
Yes.
The law says she should not have been out of her house because she had an issue of blood. She was demanded and labeled unclean.
Yes.
She wasn't supposed to be touching no one or be around nobody else.
Yes.
But Jesus was in the crowd.
Yes.
Can I get a witness in here?
Yes.
And I heard that a crowd was around her.
Yes.
And but she pressed her way to get to Jesus.
Yes.
When you get sick and tired of getting sick and tired of yourself, I ain't talking about nobody else. When you get sick and tired of yourself and going through what you're going through with yourself, you will press your way through people to make your way to Jesus. To get yourself the healing that you need in spite of what you say. Can I get a witness in here? The Bible says, can I get a witness?
Come on now.
That Moses had to go to the backside of the mountain. Because he's afraid of the retribution from Pharaoh.
Yes, Lord.
But they said God kept him there. Gene, 40 years.
Uh-huh.
He went there for 4 days.
Right.
Not 44 days and 44 nights.
Come on now.
God kept Moses in the backside of the mountain for 40 years.
Yes.
God said, I got to purge your system of the palace. To purge your system of the ways and the culture of the Egyptian system, because when I began, that's right, James, I got it. I said when I begin to do what I got to do with you, I want your mind clear.
Yes.
I want your heart ready.
Yes.
God not gonna use you, church, until you have surrendered all to Him.
Yes.
Not some of your life, all of your life.
Yes.
See, you can't have one foot in church and one foot in the Word.
Come on now.
You got to be totally committed to God. And then God said, I take your life, I I'll put you on the wheel. I'll mold you and shape you and make you to be like I want you to be. But if I see a speck of something in you, I'll mess you down and make you another thing. What you say? Survive in the river. He was born for what he did. We can survive the river, y'all. Hook on, let me tell you, there comes a point, I'm going to leave you with this. There comes a point in your life when time meets destiny.
Come on now.
You got your destiny and then you got time.
Yes.
When your time meets destiny, if your mind and your spirit is in the right place and you connect it, ain't nothing to hold you down now. Y'all hear me? Things begin to happen rapidly in your life. But you got to be with God. When time meets destiny, Paul said, I knew a man. He said, I don't know if he was in the flesh or not in the flesh.
All right.
But he was caught up.
Yes.
To the third heaven.
Yes.
Time met destiny.
Uh-huh.
And he went up into the third heaven, and God began to utter things to Paul that he had uttered to no man.
Yes.
Because why? Paul has to rip. Paul said, I'm a bond servant.
Yes.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. I surrender. He said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. I'm pressing toward the mark of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I counted as dung all those other things, trash that I've accomplished. I've surrendered my life totally to God.
Yes, Lord.
I survived all of that. He said, when we surrender our life to God, y'all, when we do that, God begins to use us.
Yes.
The stuff you used to feel like, you won't feel that way no more.
Uh-huh.
Things that used to bother you, upset you, ain't upset and bother you no more. You too focused on the spiritual realm. You're walking in the spirit and not in the flesh.
Yes.
Paul said, you have been set free. Why are you going back to bondage?
Yes. Yes.
Hello, church.
Hello.
You've been set free from those things in the flesh. You are in them and dealing with them because you decided you want to take up that feeling.
Yes.
You want to take up that habit.
Yes.
You've been set free.
Yes.
He who set free is free indeed.
Amen.
My Lord, thank you.
Surviving the river.
Surviving.
Put your hands together. God has come here.